Now, you've been writing poetry for a whiley. How did you first get started into doing it?
The reason I started was a split up from my wife. Well, that's exactly how I'd been married for about 13 years, and ended up in my own flat in Dundee, and basically didn't know what to do with myself.
Right.
And one of the first things that I did do when I moved into the flat was I cut the plug off the TV. I did, and put it on the tap. What? Uh-huh. And then after that, I thought to myself, right, okay, then what are you going to do now? Mm-hmm. Because I had all this time on my hands, and I didn't want to waste that time. And I thought, right, what am I going to do? So as I said, I didn't want to sit and vegetate in front of the TV. Mm-hmm. That was the reason how I cut the plug off it. After that, I wrote myself a wee list about all the things that I wanted to do, mm-hmm. that I wasn't able to do when I was with my wife, mm-hmm. Just because purely I had all this kind of spare time, mm-hmm. kind of on my hands. Then after like a couple of months, I'd kind of went bad. Then that was when I started writing. Mm-hmm. Again, basically, I would say to kill boredom. And what I started writing about my wife to start with.
Right.
That's why I started writing. I wrote about 8 poems about her. Uh-huh. Then I started writing about my brother after that as well. And after I'd finished with Etoile, then I started writing things about Dundee, things about Scotland. Mm-hmm. Then I started listening to myself, mm-hmm. about how I spoke. Because again, when I started writing, I was like, how do I spell that? Because mm-hmm. I was writing more in English than what I was in Dundonian, mm-hmm. but when it came to actually reading it back and reciting it, didn't sound right. Mm-hmm. Didn't sound right. Wasn't the sound that was going on inside my head whilst I was writing it. Mm-hmm. The English words didn't ring true.
Was there anybody that could give you a hand with it when you were doing that?
Well,
you could get advice for you about it.
At that time, I was quite happy just to sit and write a word to myself. Mm-hmm. I was quite happy, and it turned out, after a period of about maybe 10 months, I had about 100 poems.
Right.
All around the house. Uh-huh. And it was pretty mental, like, and so, about everything and Arthur, kind of family stuff, Scottish stuff, Dundonian stuff, love poems. Mm-hmm. There was loads of them, like
the whole range of things.
And I was going, and basically I didn't know what to do with it. Mm-hmm. And what I did do, I went to a community centre in Dundee, the Highwayman it was called, on the Hilton. That's where I went.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just to get an opinion.
It's a lot of news.
I got knocked down about 6 months ago, mm-hmm. which is a bit, it's kind of sad as well, like, aye. But I walked in there with all these poems and says, look, could you mark head nor tail of this? And they says, come in. Mm-hmm. Come in. And that was when I started looking at exactly how I was using the words. What words I was using. Mm-hmm. What kind of English words I was using. And the Scottish words as well. Then after that, I bought myself a Scottish dictionary.
Oh, right.
That's what I did. But I found as well, like, a lot of the stuff that the words that I was actually using, I was actually spelling them correctly anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Without the dictionary.
Mm-hmm.
So it was
Wrecked for Dundonian.
Yep. And it was because a lot of Scots words are kind of spelt phonetically anyway, the way you actually say them, it marks writing a lot easier, mm-hmm. as well. Like spelling issues, it's a big thing. It's a big thing in, across the country, you can, but especially but across Scotland, I would say it is a big thing. And I think that I could bile back down to schooling and that as well. I mean, when I say an English words, I pronounce it in a totally different way for an English person would. Mm. So when it comes to actually spelling it, I'm actually pronouncing it a different way, so I'm going to spell it a different way as well.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a bit of a dilemma, I would say. And I think a lot of Scottish lasses and laddies kind of come up against that as well.
Mm. Do you think, looking back, you had this urge in you for to write?
It's hard to say. I mean, I was good at talking.
Mm-hmm.
I was good. I mean, I worked on building sites and factories for 25 years.
Right.
Before I started writing.
Uh-huh.
So I was good at a bit of banter and that as well. And I used to sell household goods door to door. Pot brushes, ironing board covers, bath mats. And so I always had a bit of banter as well. But what I had to do sometimes as well, if I went to Aberdeen, I would hate to slow down the Dundonian a wee bit. So they would kind of get it as well. So it was marking it accessible. So when it come to writing, I was very aware, if you want the Hale of Scotland to get this. You need to kind of polish up your Dundonian, in a sense.
So you kind of, what you're doing maybe is tailoring it, just to whatever it is that you're going with.
Well, kind of, a wee bit of like, but no too much like. Mm-hmm. But just to polish it up so that a lot of people were getting it. I mean, I've done a lot of stuff through in Edinburgh. And when I got invited through to Edinburgh to perform, that was a bit of a worry for me. I was like, are they going to get this through there? Are they? So what I did, I slowed it down a wee bit until they got to Kenners. Then I speeded it back up to the speed that I would kind of normally do it to a Dundonian. Mm-hmm. So it was... I think it was just being aware of some people that Dundonian is very quick and fast. Mm-hmm. And no, everybody kind of gets it, and it's about kind of slowing it down. And once their ear tunes into it, then you could kind of speed it up.
Mm-hmm. So, would you say that what you are as a poet in Dundonian, rather than or something there, something outside that, it's a Dundonian poet that you are, or Scots in general? How would you describe yourself to folk?
A bit of both. But I mean, I do use a lot of Scots as well. I mean, and I use Dundonian, like what we were talking about earlier on. I use Scots, Dundonian, and English as well. Mm-hmm. Can no ruling out English. I mean, like what I'd said earlier on, English is the bonding agent for me, just to head it all together. And that way I could sprinkle the Scots and the Dundonian right across the top of it, just to get a wee bit of kind of flavour and texture as well. Because what I didn't want to do is just be... restrict myself purely to Dundee. Mm-hmm. That's all right. I wanted to open myself up. I wanted to cross the tie. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to cross the Seedleys as well. To come up to Kirriemuir and for it to be kind of understood and to use words that they would use in different parts of Scotland as well. Mm-hmm. You can, so it's recognisable as well. So it's not just about me and Dundonian. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And no forcing Dundonian down people's throats as well.
Aye. Are there any other poets, either Dundonian or other Scots, that you have a fondness for or he has favourites?
Tom Leonard. Tom, I went on a writing course a while back now, but maybe 6-7 years ago, and Tom Leonard was there, and I deliberately went on the course because Tom was there,
right.
Because he spoke in Glaswegian and he wrote in Glaswegian as well, and it was very similar to what I was doing at Perthy in Dundonian. So it was great to go along and get a bit of feedback from Tom. So, and I'd read his book God knows how many times, and to meet him and hear him kind of reciting stuff as well, it was great. And I ended up getting great feedback from Tom. Like, he tells us that I had it cracked. And I says to him, so what will I do then? He says, carry on doing what you're doing. Uh-huh. And I was like, right. But one of the things that Tom did tell us today, he says, look, one bit of advice, he says, write closer to your voice.
Aye.
Meaning use the words that you would normally use.
Aye.
And then go out your way to use kind of other. And that was a great bit of advice. And other kind of workshops and that I kind of do throughout Scotland as well, I encourage people to do that as well, right closer to their own voice. Like what we were saying earlier on, I didn't go out and ram Dundonian down people's throats, I ram down their throats what they're comfortable, actually, the way they talk.
So their strength would be in their own roots?
Yep, and their own tongue as well.
Aye.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yep.
In your work as a poet, do you go out and about and do readings?
I were the shop. I've been the Highlands, the Borders, the West Coast, the East Coast, just I were the place. In 2007, I ended up in China.
Oh, did you?
I got invited to an international beach festival.
Right. As you do.
And away I went across there, and what the project that was involved with at the time, the guy says to us, look, they want to hear a Scottish person, Mark. He says, I can't think anybody more Scottish than you. He said, and he sent us across here with an interpreter. Mm-hmm. So away I went, and I went and done this festival. And all they wanted to hear was a Scottish accent. Regardless, none of them had a clue what I was saying, because it was our Chinese people. But the interpreter was going on and trying her best at the back of me to interpret it exactly what I'd kind of said after it had come off, like, aye.
Uh-huh.
So it was great just to get the opportunity to do that, and also as well to go across and talk in my own tongue, mm-hmm. which was fantastic. And it went out live on Chinese TV and that.
Oh, did it?
So that's kind of roughly, as I said, our Scotland, mm-hmm. Over up the Highlands as well. I've done loads of stuff up there. Well, I've done the Edinburgh International Book Festival this year as well, mm-hmm. which was fantastic. I've done the Wicker Man Festival way down in the borders.
What
I've done that three times now.
Right.
I've done it this year again, and it was it's great. It's great being able to travel just by using your own tongue, mm-hmm. and people kind of listening to it as well and enjoying it. Mm-hmm. Kind of know just putting up with it, so to speak.
Aye.
Kind of they do enjoy you using your own tongue and expressing yourself in your own tongue as well. Mm-hmm. And I think it encourages them to do it and that.
Aye. Do you have any particular subjects or ideas that you like to come back to and write about?
I mean, Scotland's steeped in history, Ken, so I think that there's enough material there to keep me going for 12 lifetimes. Mm. So I do kind of tend to go back and forward to look into Scottish history and maybe update it a wee bit, again, for the bairns. Mm-hmm. For the bairns, to make it more acceptable and that for the bairns as well, to say, oh, that happened. Instead of ploughing through history books and that as well, I mean, well, you can yourself how much history Scotland's got, mm-hmm. like, aye, but just to maybe try and update some of the stuff as well and bring it back to life. About that thing I was telling you about, I've just written the play, mm-hmm. the 2009 to Buchanan Street bus station.
Aye, tell us a bit more about that.
It came about in 2009. I was looking to write a poem about Burns for his coming home for his birthday and all the rest of it as well. And I'd wrote a couple of poems about Burns before, and I didn't want to go down the same road. So my wife and I were sitting talking about what I was going to write about. And she'd said, what about a fantasy football team? And Burns is the manager. I said, that's it. But then I went, no, Alex Ferguson's the manager. And basically, she says, well, they're all coming home on a plane. I said, they wouldn't have paid the money. I says, they're all getting the bus, and I'm driving the bus. And out of that, 26 iconic Scottish people ended up on the bus that I was driving him to celebrate for Burns's birthday, mm-hmm. which was great. And in that, there's a lot of history kind of in that as well. Like Mary Queen of Scots is on it, Alexander Graham Bell and John Logie Baird is on it, mm-hmm. Donald Dewar's on it as well. So it's kind of Sean Connery's on it, Billy Connolly's on it. So it's just a mix and a mash of iconic Scottish people as well, and to bring it up to date and let young people say, what's that? Benny Lynch is on it. Yeah, Scottish boxer.
Right.
Yeah, so I try to dig add that up just to let modern day Scottish bairns to hear, can, mm-hmm. oh, what's all that about? And maybe dig a wee bit deeper for myself. But just to even mention it, say, well, what's he on about there? Didn't care about that guy. Mm-hmm. So, and just to drop it in. So and hopefully they would maybe pick up on that and maybe go and do a wee bit of research, mm-hmm. to find out.
And when is this showing?
26th, 27th November.
November.
In Webster's Theatre in Arbroath.
And have you, Ian Sachs, done with you thinking and tacking it around Scotland at all? Or?
Well, if the opportunity comes up, then I mean, it's a very adaptable thing that can tour around Scotland. I'm going to try it out in Arbroath first, mm-hmm. and see, but there is definitely the scope for to tack it around as a travelling play, mm-hmm. And Edinburgh would be the ideal place to do it as well, on the touring buses, mm-hmm. and there to reenact it for, you could just imagine, but I don't think you get the 26 of them on. But even just to do kind of snippets of it, just to let people kind of hear a wee bit about Scottish history poetically as well. Mm-hmm. So that's the plan anyway, but I need to mark some more inroads in order to see it, but that's mm-hmm. the scope, to have a look around about and see how far I can push it and tack it. Mm-hmm.